Okay, at this time, we do the board reorganization, election of officers. Do I have a nomination for board chair?
I nominate Catherine McGinn.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Discussion? Any other nominations? Okay, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
Okay. That's unanimous, so.
Yeah, it is.
Well, from this point on, you're supposed to take over.
Okay. Do we have any nominations for vice chair? I nominate Rich Pelletier.
I thank you for nominating me, but I respectfully decline.
Okay, any other nominees? Nominations?
I'll nominate Chris Bober.
Okay. One second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay. Committee assignments. So we have various committees that we need to fill designated seats on. So there's, for Herla's sake, we have the number of board members next to each of the roles that we need. So manifest signatories, those are done Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? When are they
done? Yeah, I think Thursday morning is usually
Thursday morning?
Done it. Yeah.
Okay. So Thursday, we need two folks to do that.
And does it have to be done on Thursdays, or if someone can't do it till Friday, is that okay with you?
The only thing is that you just keep in mind your payroll checks will go out without your signature, and accounts payable will not be distributed.
So Thursday.
So Thursday.
I know, I've always played with time to get there on Thursday.
Yeah. I, for the most part, did. Sure. Does anybody have any interest in doing either of those committee assignments? Chris, do you want to still do it again?
I'm okay with continuing unless someone else wants to jump in. I don't know if you...
I think Thursdays are, is...
Yeah.
Paul, Rich, do either of you want to... I know, Hurley, your schedule's challenging.
I'm okay with continuing.
If I could do it 7 o'clock in the morning... I'm here. How?
Isn't it
Patty?
Yeah, that's what Patty's usually.
Is it every Thursday?
It's every Thursday.
Every week.
Mm-hmm. We just have to connect in case I'm going to a conference or something, not going to be here, so I can let you know that I'm going to be in at 7.
All right, if that's feasible, I'd.
The big weeks are the payroll weeks, and then on the off weeks is the other billing.
I mean, I can be a backup, too, because I'm always here. That's why Chris and I did it last year.
If you can't make it.
Or if you don't want to do it. Okay.
It doesn't matter. I mean, if it's an issue to try to make the time around me, I don't have to do it.
Yeah, I'm usually here.
All right.
The way we've done it, too, is if Catherine and I could make it, we'd usually put an email out to the board.
And just have somebody.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
So
as long as there's two signatures.
All right, then I'll take it.
Okay, so Chris and Herla, anybody, Rich, Paul, do you have any issues with that?
That's fine with me.
All right, so Chris and Herla, sold. Policy committee, there's two for that as well. Any volunteers?
So that's where we get the packet of all the policies and just review them.
Correct. We get there's a committee of representation from the different schools. Carol sits in as well. Patty, Bob, can we review policies that need to be revised based on school board association recommendations, different laws, manifests, things like that.
We have been meeting the third Tuesday at 3:45 to 5 o'clock. I don't remember what week it is. 3:45 to 5 o'clock. It is something I imagine we could probably review the time.
Yeah, we can review the time.
If that's an issue. I think customarily been during school hours, but...
And pretty typically we're done by 5, so it's pretty much stick to the hour and 15 minutes.
Okay.
I think over the last few years since I've been on, we've been systematically kind of going through and updating the policies that need to be updated and any other issues that might arise.
We typically look at this if there's new regulations or there's been a change in a law. The New Hampshire School Board Association will let us know, and they'll send us a recommended policy, and that's where the conversation begins. We also go through the policies that are 10 years old or older to rotate through to see what's outdated.
Okay.
That'd be good for a new board member.
Yeah, and I'd be more than willing to do it, but this doesn't put food on the table, so I can't be here except for Fridays.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty flexible Fridays.
Well, I stepped in when Steve did it. I'm more than happy to continue doing that. Chris, did you want to do it? Rich, Paul, did either of you? What do you guys want?
I'm okay with continuing as well.
Okay. Anybody else have any interest? Okay. So Chris? Wellness committee? That one meets.
Which two do we put down? It's going to be two of us or are you and
the cat.
Okay.
Yeah, the two of us.
Okay.
Wellness committee, that one meets monthly as well, the second Tuesday of the month, I think, from 3:30 to 4:30. That was me in the past.
Wellness. Wellness is quarterly or monthly?
It's been
quarterly.
It's been monthly.
Yeah. Okay.
They've had some work to do, though.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be quarterly, but it's been monthly.
And for clarification, it's not an actual school board committee, but it's a...
We sit on that board as representatives. It's run by the schools and usually the nurses. So if anybody wants to sit on that, or I can continue, it's up to you guys. It's a board decision.
Continue.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Who was that? Perla?
I'll stay on that one.
Oh.
Yeah. Professional Development Committee. How often does that one meet?
On an as-needed basis. We submitted our professional development plan to the state 3 years ago, and I don't know if we've even.
This next year it will meet more frequently than it has the past 2 years.
Have we had a board member? Oh, sorry.
Steve was on it previously, so.
I'm gonna say not it, just for the nature of what it is.
Does that have a set time, or is that something that we could work out?
Well, the new CIA person will probably be trying to juggle the best time to do that, so.
The schedule for next year has not been set yet. I think that there's one more scheduled for this year.
But typically in the past, when we ran them before, they were after school.
Yeah.
So
afternoons, usually not on Fridays, because it requires representation by under the Ed rules from teachers, paraprofessionals, administrators, the whole gamut.
But after school, not evenings.
After school.
So I'm going to say not it, just for the nature of what it is, but does anybody want to join that one?
I mean, if need be, as a backup, but I think because of other commitments I'm making, I'd rather, if there's someone else as interested in being the primary, but certainly as a backup member, I wouldn't mind if I can.
Paul or Rich, are either of you interested? Chris, can you sit in as needed?
As needed, and I guess, take it as it comes. If it's something that poses an issue, I can always bring it back, too.
Okay.
As far as scheduling.
Okay. Duncan Jenkins, Trust Committee?
That's you.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's you.
Okay.
I didn't realize that until tonight.
Lila Murphy, Scholarship Committee?
Oh, yeah.
Paul, it is. Does anybody else interested in that one?
I'll do that one.
Paul and Rich? Okay. And then the support staff contract negotiations.
I did have an interest in doing that, where I had done been in the last negotiation round.
Okay. Rich, did you want to tag team with Chris on that one, since you did so well on the...
I did the last one. In fact, I've done the last two. I did the support staff, and I did the teachers.
Teacher one.
So I mean, I think somebody else should have a shot at it to learn the ropes.
And again, it's just the time. So what's that usually?
And we don't really know until the negotiation committees.
It starts usually with a notice from the union to me that tell the board that they're interested in beginning the negotiations, and we usually begin in the fall. But the letter comes usually during the summer to begin. So it is a pretty decent time commitment, I do have to say, especially as time goes on and you start doing the back and forth on the negotiations. There have been night meetings with that, and I know you have kids, so thank you, sir.
Well, the night meetings aren't a problem. It's the missing work meetings that can't happen.
So I'm sure they'd work around whenever it is that people.
Patty.
Well, they're very much. It has to be sometimes during the day and sometimes after school. It is because it's a union and they do not want it to all be one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
They will try to do a 50-50 if they can.
I could do that, I guess.
Okay. All right, so let me just review this. So we've got Herla and Chris doing manifests, Chris and Catherine doing policy, I'm going to stay on for wellness, Chris is going to do professional development, I'm going to do Duncan Jenkins, Paul and Rich are going to do Lila Murphy, and Chris and Paul are going to do support staff. Sound right?
He said, it said policy too, correct?
Oh, did I say policy? Yeah, I said
okay.
Policy.
Okay, I might have just not heard.
Okay, correspondence.
Okay, I think you have the letter from Conval, but I also received a letter today from Alex Lukjar, the union president, that they asked me to please read to the board. Dear Mr. Hassett and members of the Hillsborough Deering School Board, on behalf of the Hillsborough Deering Federation of Teachers, I would like to express our gratitude to the voters of Hillsborough and Deering for approving a new 3-year contract in the school's operating budget at the polls last week's election. We are so thankful for the continued consistent support shown by the members of the community and the school board for our work as professionals in serving the needs of students during this cycle of negotiation and voting period. While there is still much to be done in the years ahead to continue improving as a district, the collaboration between the teachers, administration, school board, and community that this new contract represents is an encouraging sign for the future of our schools. Additionally, we would like to congratulate Ms. Herla Iadonisi on her recent election to the board and to Mr. Chris Boba on his re-election. We look forward to working with you as well as with the entire school board as partners in our students' education in the years to come. And Michael, if you would like a copy of that, you can have mine.
You knew I was looking this
way.
Sideways.
The other communication is from the New Hampshire School Board Association.
Yes.
I believe that you get these individually as well, but would you like me to read this?
Sure, go ahead. You did them so well.
Dear New Hampshire School Board Association member boards, as you have likely heard, the Contoocook Valley School District, widely known as Conval, filed a complaint and motion for a preliminary injunction in Cheshire Superior Court, seeking to require the state of New Hampshire to meet its constitutional obligation to fund an adequate education for every New Hampshire student. The Conval School Board has not taken this step lightly. It has been 26 years since the Supreme Court of New Hampshire, in a landmark Claremont decision, determined that it is a state obligation to ensure a constitutionally adequate education for New Hampshire children. Subsequent decisions by the court also determined that the state cannot shift that responsibility to the local communities. Regrettably, the legislature has to date been unable to provide adequate funding to local communities so that all children in New Hampshire receive a fair and equitable education, forcing local school boards to raise the necessary funds from increasingly overburdened local taxpayers. The complaint lays out, using the state's own formula and the state's own data, how the state's base adequacy funding falls far short of constitutionally sufficient funding for the children of either the Convale School District or New Hampshire. The state's current funding of only $33,636.06 per child does not fund the actual transportation costs incurred by districts, does not apply the actual teacher-student ratios, does not accurately reflect the actual benefits required by the state, does not provide any funding for school nurses, superintendent services, nor food services as required by state law, and provides less than 20% of the actual statewide average facilities operations and maintenance costs. The current proposed legislation does little to provide permanent guaranteed adequacy, and while it may provide temporary relief to some communities, it is not a permanent solution to an ongoing problem. Any school boards interested in coordinating efforts are invited to reach out to any of the following contacts. And then on the last page are the members of the school board. Rich Cahoon, Convale Vice Chair, Dr. Kim Rizzo Saunders, Convale Superintendent, Michael J. Turney Esquire, Wadley Starr, and Peters PLLC.
So I think we all have received that. So I think we wanted to put this on the agenda to discuss whether we wanted to look into this at all, we wanted to outreach to get more information, things of that nature. Anybody have any thoughts on the letter? Current happening?
I mean, given the funding situation from the state of New Hampshire and the decrease in funding, it's definitely an important issue. I mean, I guess my thoughts are when maybe gathering information, I don't know if we necessarily want to jump in head first right away, but seeing how this kind of, develops itself, since I think it was just last week when they submitted this.
Are you asking me that question?
It was just kind of in general too, it's not dry on that letter yet.
Yeah. Do you want me to come on?
Sure, if you want, yeah.
The base rate of 3606 is actually smaller than the actual amount we get because the formula is adjusted based upon the number of special education students you have, free and reduced lunch kids, what else?
English
language learners. There's a variety of increases that are added to that. That's the base adequacy number. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, Laurie. But I think that what the sentiment is that the funding that's actually coming from the state, it winds up being between $6,000 and $7,000 per student when the average in the state is ballpark, please don't quote me, $17,000 to $18,000 per student. Which does fly in the face of what the Claremont decision did say. Accumulating facts, the state of New Hampshire used to fund 35% of the cost of the retirement system for municipal employees, which was fire, police, and school, and they currently fund zero now. And that 35%, I think, is one of the big chunks that people have seen trickle down to the real estate tax costs. There was an adequacy funding that used to try to offset the insufficiency of the adequacy formula, and that's been voted by the legislature to decrease by 4% per year for 25 years. I think the first year it was around $225,000 in lost revenue for the Hillsborough Deering School District, and multiply that times 25 years,
yeah.
The road, if you're looking down the road, that's a pretty discouraging number to look at for lost revenue. And those are just some of the numbers that I felt might be pertinent to this. And
yeah.
Whatever numbers you wish us to get, we can crunch for you.
Actually, that was a question I was going to ask, so you hit it nicely on the head with it right there. The other thing that I picked up on today, I guess there was a statement from, I believe it was the administrators throughout the state, the Administrators Association, mm-hmm. where they were saying that this is kind of they're saying the timing of it is problematic only because of there's a lot of legislation, there's a lot of bills that are up in the State House and the Senate right now. Mm-hmm. One of them being the state retirement, which has only passed the House, I believe, mm-hmm. to restore it to 15%. So not the full 35, but at least it's something, it's heading in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and there's a number of other bills that are sort of in pending status. Whether or not they get signed into law or not, I guess we'll see how the process goes. But mm-hmm. it'll probably certainly have a direct effect on the letter that Conval is sending in the legal process.
And one of the bills that addressed some of the funding shortages went to a category that is to re-examine, which is the place where bills go to die.
This letter was geared towards any school boards interested in coordinating efforts. Does it sound like we want to coordinate efforts? Do we want to just kind of wait and see how it goes? This is or more FYI. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think we should discuss it at another board meeting or two.
Yeah.
Okay. We can do that.
Before we jump anywhere.
Sounds good. Any other comments or thoughts on that topic? Okay, that was cool. Any other correspondence?
I guess mine's more recognitions.
Okay, we're going to recognitions.
Yeah, sorry.
Did you want to jump in with the recognition?
I do have one. I don't know if I have one.
Go ahead.
Hopefully I'm not taking your thunder.
No,
I think it's something that a few of us got today, too. I want to recognize actually one of our own as student representative, Josh Marshall. I believe this is hot off the press. I've got the email went out from Mark Krieger earlier today. Congratulations to Josh Marshall, who was selected as an Emerging Leader Honor Award student. Josh was one of two students selected in the entire state, so it's quite an honor. And I'll have to elaborate. I'll just read the article in brief, and then I can forward this and make this available to anyone who wants it. It was announcing the Emerging Leader Award. Over 400 DECA members have been recognized for the Emerging Leader Honor Award for 2019. I believe that's countrywide, so it's not just New Hampshire. So it's the award recognizes DECA high school students studying marketing, finance, hospitality, and management, while also being an academically prepared, community-oriented, professionally responsible, experienced leader through the participation in DECA in the organization. To be recognized for this award, the DECA member must participate in various activities such as promoting DECA in the community, and participating in school-based enterprise, competing at a DECA conference, as he's just done, and preparing to go down to Florida, as well as other experiences. These activities fulfill different categories that make up a well-rounded emerging leader and being a student rep on the board. This emerging leader must have completed a marketing, business management, entrepreneurship, finance, or hospitality and tourism course, and must have a 3.2 cumulative GPA or higher for the academic portion of the award. And the requirements for this award also include approval from the member's advisor, counselor, principal, and parents. And then they have a list of all the recipients, and Josh was on that list. So I don't know, and I know they had a great silent auction on another note, not to take thunder away from Josh, but Josh was one of the students that was an important part of putting that silent auction on, and I'm sure maybe he can add to how they did and how close they came to raising money to go to Florida. So again, congratulations. Quite an award.
Yeah. Does that go for a year?
Honestly, he found out before I found out. He knows more about it at this point than I do.
So I jumped on it quick.
No, yeah. You had responded to that email before I saw that email. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. But the silent auction did go very well.
Do we know how much money they raised by any chance?
Total is about $10,000. So
that's
it went
really
very
cool.
Well. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yes, it was. And
must be a couple hundred people there.
Yeah, well, yeah. The way we do it is we had a section to put the winnings of the different bidders, and we had 118 spots, and we had 118 bidders exactly.
Wow.
So we nailed that one.
Cool. It was excellent. There were some great donations, great prizes.
Yes, there were.
I wound up winning a 6-month membership to a health club, which some people have said is well deserved, if not needed. The other two were for food locations.
Balances out.
Excellent.
I'd also like to recognize the middle school DECA chapter, which came in first in the state last Thursday. So hats off to them. We also had robotics competing over the weekend, and they had a wonderful experience. They did well. I think it was 22nd out of 37.
Okay.
22nd out of 37. Okay. So hats off to them. That's if you ever get a chance to go that, it is just so much fun to see the different robots and the tasks that they ask them to do. It's fantastic. This past Monday, a week ago today, we had... and I don't want Jen's head to get too big, Tuesday, the best possible PD day I've seen in my career. It came with a whole...
Every time you have a PD day.
Twice. Two that she's run have been unbelievable. She made them fun. There were activities in the morning where you tried to find different members of the faculty. She'd find an interesting life fact, went to school in Boston or, you know, something, or played for a particular team or... and then we also had some healthy parts to where people wanted to do yoga or if they wanted to do volleyball. So in the midst of that was all the other good stuff about learning how to do more things around teaching and learning. We also last week had the 39th Army Band visit the high school and John Wade, and it was just a really, really nice performance. So we had a Destination Imagination tournament this past weekend. I don't know how we did on that. I don't know where we fell in the finals on that. We also, as you know, March 14th is Pi Day and Albert Einstein's birthday. So that was a theme for a lot of teachers throughout the district. Some that cut pizza and cut the pies into different, tried to cut the pies into pie. The assistant principal at the high school wore an Einstein mask. It was an Einstein mask, Jim?
Yeah, it was like the half of his head to fit her head. So
she was a good sport and dressed up as Einstein. So that's it on recognitions.
Okay. Presentations. We have the lower elementary principal candidate here?
Yes, we do. I'd like to begin by thanking the members of the screening committee. We talked about this at a couple of different meetings about how we would structure that. So in the past, we've seen some committees that are 15, 16, 20 people, and it becomes really unwieldy. So we did try to pick some people that hit multiple stakeholder groups. Terry Carson, who's a kindergarten teacher here. Catherine McGinn, who is a mother, the vice chair, PTO past president. Danielle Parento, who is a preschool person, and also her background prior to that was special education. Jen Crawford, Patty Parento, Mark Peterson from the middle school, Donna Furlong, Kelly Colarusso, who will be the principal at the Washington School next year, and myself. We had about 30 people apply for the position. We basically did kind of an old-fashioned system of yes, no, and maybe piles. To go through and determine who you may want to interview and who you definitely wanted to interview. That list came down to about 10 candidates, and then the team met and we talked about the various candidates and we narrowed it down to 5 folks which we wish to interview. Out of the 5, 1 did call in sick and did miss that opportunity to interview that person. And we narrowed it down at that point to 2 candidates who I have to say I feel that the district was really blessed in the sense that it had 2 really strong candidates. So the second round of interviews were with the SAU, the curriculum coordinator, the assistant superintendent, and myself. And then both poor candidates had the opportunity to meet with the superintendent in private, just one-on-one, to see if we were compatible and on the right page with each other. And so it's my honor and privilege at this time to interview the candidate for the lower elementary school principalship, pre-K to 2, and Jenny La Liberty. So ask Jenny to come up, so if the board has questions, wants to ask Jenny any questions, she's ready, willing, and able. And Donna and she did speak on the phone because they wore matching outfits.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, planned.
It was simple. How funny.
So.
Welcome. Does anybody have any questions?
Jenny's resume was in your packet, so some of you may have already read through that.
Mm-hmm.
any of the schools that you were at previously have the two principals like we're doing or we're going to do?
It's better if you do.
Yeah, it might make it easier.
Carol is Vanna for us.
It's vibrating.
Vibrating, that means it's warming up.
Yep.
Yeah. Try it now.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
The current school that I'm the assistant principal right now, I'm an assistant, so it's not a co-principal position exactly, but that's the way it's structured. So currently I am the supervisor for pre-K to 4, because it's a K-8 school, and then the principal supervises 5th through 8th grade. So I take care of all the staff observations, all student behaviors, parent contact, all that.
I got a chance to sit down your interview, so I know lots and lots. Can you share with the board, because I think it was really interesting, can you share with the board the example you gave us about, I think it was FaceTiming in one of your students or Skyping in one of your students? I think that would be really interesting for them to hear.
Yeah, so we have a second grader who currently has some pretty severe medical needs, and she's not able to come to school every day. So her family has decided that they're going to homeschool her, but they, because of all of her needs, it really needs a lot of school support. So every day she FaceTimes in with her class for certain parts of the day. They're working up to doing more, but right now for some of her reading instruction, for the morning meeting time, and a few other parts of her day, she's able to Skype in and they can see her and she can see them as well. So I try to go in and wave to her and wish her a good morning. So it's kind of a great system that they've come up with.
I just thought that was so neat. Yeah. I'm like, that's so neat. We should do that kind of stuff. Anybody else have any questions?
It's sort of a general question too, but yeah, how do you feel your past experiences recently in the assistant principal position, but even prior, how do you feel that you'll be able to bring that to the elementary school in this position?
Sure. So obviously you have my resume, so we won't go through the whole thing, but I was a classroom teacher in the lower elementary. That's where I did most of my teaching. And then working as a reading specialist, I supported students K to 5 with reading and writing needs, along with providing professional development support for teachers. So that kind of gave me some of that experience before I moved into the assistant principal position. Like I said, that lower elementary has been my focus, so I feel like that is something that I have a lot of experience with.
Anybody else have any questions for Jenny?
That was pretty easy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Only three questions, but I'll throw in a little bit here. When we narrowed the process down, one of the things that really stood out, which made Jenny become the finalist in this, the final candidate, was the fact that she already has 3 years of principalship, assistant principalship, so she's familiar with the role. And Donna has two. And Donna's done a really outstanding job, so I kind of felt that it was really the perfect match. Donna's strength is in mathematics, and Jenny's is in reading and literacy, and we have a K-4, you've served as a K-4 person, and so it just seemed to be the perfect match as far as getting a team together that would hit the ground running, that would absolutely know the directions to go. Jenny's school has done the responsive classroom, and a lot of the initiatives that we've put in on the social-emotional learning challenges that we're seeing today were things that Jenny has experience in implementing in other districts. So, thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny.
Just one more follow.
Yeah.
I guess in a school too, not to, we won't make it too easy. I'll just add one more question. In a school where it's pre-K to 5, and you're in K to 4, you said?
Well, it's a K to 8 school.
Okay, K to 8.
So my focus, as far as my administrative responsibilities, is mainly K to 4. But that being said, because I work really hard to create relationships with students and families, they tend to stick with me. I had a sixth grade parent talking to me today on the phone, and she said, "Well, I just feel comfortable talking to you. You know, cool. You know him." And so it's. Even though that's sort of the guidelines of what I'm supposed to do, it doesn't necessarily always work that way. And I would assume the same would be here. You know, being
bridge that gap and not be separated.
That was my the second half of my question. I was going to ask how you worked with, you know, in this being in the same building with another principal working with the upper grades, how you felt about that and managing those responsibilities and, you know, spreading them with them and the other staff.
Certainly, I'm sure it will be a process to kind of work out exactly what that will look like. But my experience has been that, you know, lots of communication and conversations about how things are going and what direction we want to go in. Currently, the position that I'm in with the principal, we talk all the time, and I would welcome that same kind of opportunity.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
Good.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to open it up for public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to share an idea or concern with the board. Comments are limited to 5 minutes per person. It is not the practice of the board to immediately respond to comments made. Does anybody have any comments at this time? Going once, going twice, sold. And I don't think we have any response to the silence right now, so we'll skip that one. Board discussion items. Election results. What did you guys think of the election? Obviously, Carla and Chris are here with us, so there was that. I think all of our items passed, with the exception of the feasibility study. I think it was all very encouraging news.
The voter participation was good too. I know in Deering it was up a little more than it usually is, even though it's still comparatively looking at the population of the towns, they're still low. But mm-hmm. It was nice to see that people took that time to come out and vote and vote for candidates as well as for the budget and show us that support.
I did joke that it was beautiful day because I was not running because of 2 years I ran. It was a blizzard in both days.
When it started to snow, I told you to go home.
I know. it did start to snow, so I went home. Do we have any questions or concerns? I know that we will need to start thinking about what we want to do with the feasibility study. I think we have an opportunity. The bond is... No, I know. That means no. But right. What we do from here. So if we're not going to move forward with that building, we might want to think about other large item projects we want to pursue, since the middle school bond is going to be up in a few years. So we might have just kind of food for thought on some of that, and we can circle back on that at a future board meeting.
I almost think, I mean, some of my initial thoughts, you know, it'll probably take some time, but just where the town boards changed a little bit too this time around, might be worth reaching out again and maybe getting some thoughts where possibly seeing if there's some more support from the town side and the community, as opposed to just coming from the schools.
True.
Yeah, seeing if we could, you know, potentially even foster a relationship back and forth.
Yep, we'll do that.
I would warn about jumping into too many other projects, even when the middle school was paid off, because we do have that bond for the elementary school boiler still going until, I believe it's the year 2038.
Sounds about right. The lease.
Yeah, it's technically it's a lease purchase, correct? Mm-hmm. Is that, yeah.
So it's not a bond.
It's not a bond.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other comments on the election? All right. Follow up on the elementary school, Mr. Bailey.
So we have some more information on the piping and where we're looking to go with the changeover. I know in my discussions today and past discussions with the administration, a lot of the teachers are feeling that they want to keep their sinks. At those lower grade levels, they do a lot of projects in the room. You know, there always is the push for kids to wash their hands and constantly be washing their hands. So that's their feeling. So you have the information for what that costs to replace the piping to those sinks. We're talking about roughly 15 sinks altogether would be replaced. It would be six in the Bailey wing, six in the far end of the electric wing, and then three in the kitchen. In addition to that, the line that is running down the hallway right now feeds a couple of the bubblers that are in the hallways. So those would just be tied into the new line. So there's some work there to tie in the stuff that's existing on that line now.
But those bubblers weren't impacted in the...
No, those bubblers were on the clean line.
Okay.
So
yeah.
As we talked about, the clean line runs down to almost directly across from where I'm sitting in the hallway. And then it goes down in size, pipe size. So we're upsizing from this point down the hallway and then doing new lines into each one of those sinks. And then in the kitchen, it's just removing the pipe discontinuing the pipe that goes down in the slab, refeeding the pipe that's down into the three bay sinks that are there.
Did you say six in the electric wing, six Bailey?
And three in the kitchen.
Kitchen.
Yeah.
And all three in the kitchen are the ones that they use for prepping, and they'll continue to use them too.
Correct.
So what's the final number?
So that number, that one number that I have, that's $46,298.
$46,298?
Yes.
And that covers those nine?
That covers
everything?
Two bubblers, that's okay. All the work complete. Demo of the old pipe, install the new pipe, and then tie in all of what we talked about.
And we were looking to, when we had talked about this before too, we were saying that some of this was going to come from the budget you had, or looking at the emergency.
That's up to you guys.
Okay.
I think we discussed, we hadn't really firmed up where we wanted to pull it from. I think Paul mentioned the emergency fund in the past.
Yeah.
It kind of is emergency.
Yeah.
It qualifies as an emergency.
Right.
So we just need to vote on that tonight.
If you're going to
have a public hearing.
You might want to vote on to pursue that, to schedule a public hearing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It has to be posted,
Okay, so then I think we need to take that as an action item to schedule a post-out. Okay. Anything else on the sinks? Plumbing?
Kind of next steps on moving forward. We can have an RFP out this week and then solicit additional bids, just policy, giving everybody a fair chance to come in, look at it, bid on it. Might get some lower numbers, but I think this is a good budget number to go with to start off with public hearings.
And then is the plan to do it this summer? Is that for your timeline?
Yeah, this summer would be when it's all done.
Okay.
So we'd be gathering the bids, but of course not doing, not making final decisions and purchasing until after the public hearing. I know
Correct.
That's one of those.
Yeah, we put it out to bid. Usually 2 to 3 weeks is a good response time to see if anybody's interested, and then usually they can get back a week and a half after that, get all the bids back, and at that time we probably should make a decision once we have those bids in hand. Just for scheduling a contractor to come in and do the work, we want to have them tied down hopefully before May. It's kind of the idea that'd be the best for them too. And then they get a schedule. And that's pushing it, but it's just the way that the school timing works. And it is what it is.
Do you imagine too that there'd be any issues with programming that's offered here at the elementary school that we'd have to work around, or
a lot of it doesn't affect those areas, so I don't think it'll be an issue.
Okay.
Cool.
Anything else on that?
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Thanks for all your work on it.
If we are thinking at all about having a public hearing and seeing if we can get money from the emergency fund, wouldn't we want to see those bids prior to that? I mean, and that could be another 3 weeks. Sorry, you said, Jay?
Another 3 weeks for the bids?
Yeah. Usually an up-to number for the public hearing is sufficient.
Okay. So we'd use this as the up-to number? Okay.
You've gotten some ballpark estimates from plumbers,
yeah.
And that's the number that seems to be...
Okay.
Yeah, they were on the high side. They budget, that was a budget price, not a bid price.
Okay.
So
okay.
Those are typically higher.
Okay.
Well, I'm just thinking, even if we wait until like mid-April or end of April, that might give time for at least a few of the bids to come in. You know, hopefully all of them. If you're saying about 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay. Anything else on that? Okay, follow up on video recording, live streaming, board meetings.
Just as he's walking up to, I forget when we set the public hearing, are we going to do that further in the meeting or do we want to set that now as far as choosing a date?
If we decided that we need to vote on that?
Well, you can do it as an action item.
Okay.
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 Just was
thank
clarification.
You.
Thank you.
Yep.
So I've reached out to the vendor.
Yep.
They have agreed that they will order the equipment, and we're just trying to coordinate schedules to get them to come in and pull the wire and get the trial set up. We're looking for the middle of April right now at this point. Wire needs to be pulled after school hours, so you know, we have little ones running out in front of us.
Okay. So mid-April.
Is mid-April feasible as far as the remotely pulling wires and it's
yes.
Still?
Yes.
Okay.
So once they come out and pull the wires and that's just setting up the equipment. So
yep.
Then probably the beginning of May would be able to, because I don't think mid-April we have vacation too, right? So
mm-hmm. Probably have our, yeah.
Probably. Mid April is the 15th.
That'd be a good date.
Why?
Tax day.
So, probably looking for May then? Go
sure.
Online.
I think it would be May, yeah.
Do you think it would be in by April 15th for a trial? Or do you feel like.
Maybe it really depends on how long it takes them to get the equipment in.
Okay. Okay.
To order the camera and the microphone and then installation, it will be one evening. It won't be that long.
Okay.
Is there an orientation process? I mean, I guess on our end, it's more or less flip the switch and it goes. I mean, as far as it streams live, and then do they move it over to archive it automatically, or is that
yep,
something?
Yep, it's all handled by them.
Okay. So it's,
our involvement is flipping the switch.
Once it's done.
A couple seconds to...
Okay. So keep us posted
there.
When you get a definitive date, and then we can go from there in terms of scheduling when we'll have our first live event.
Is there any indications in terms of have you gotten as far as where they're going to place the camera yet, or is that still too early?
So it's still a little too early. I had sent them pictures of the way this room was set up and typically how the tables are lined up. So right now they're looking at right up there underneath that light for the installation of the camera and the microphone pointing down this way. And then we just need to work with James to figure out where to put the light switch. We want to keep it up high enough that it's not mistaken as an actual light switch. Because it's
might be some little fingers.
Yes. You can quickly run into some legal liability issues if you start streaming the elementary school library to the internet.
Yeah.
Okay.
He also said that they'd be able to do the second location as well.
Okay.
But I told him to hold on that. Let's get this up and going first before we move forward with that second location.
Now that the April 15th day too, is that including, I know we talked about some skirting and or movable skirting and a backdrop of some sort.
Well, poor Carol inherited that job of trying to find that and have it fit the particular design we have here. So she's been pretty busy looking through catalogs and online. We think we've got it covered. What do you think, Carol? April 15th?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, anything else for video recording?
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Neil. All right, superintendent's report.
Okay, appointments, leaves, and resignations are in your packet. And the official retirements of Kathy Shannon and Peter Dunbar, you'll notice are in there, because there's a date which in with if they hadn't withdrawn. Mm-hmm. So that becomes effective with your vote this evening. Any questions? Okay, the 2019-20 staff student calendar. Many of the schools in the area go with the Concord school district calendar. We largely have fallen into that because we have anywhere upwards of 20 kids at the high school who participate in the vocational program. So we try to keep our schedules similar. There is a movement out there to not take our summer away. I don't think it's got a lot of traction. It's going to clearly run into the problem of local control. It has not been resolved to the best of my knowledge, so I don't think it will make it in to be effective anyways this year. And I think if the board votes the schedule, our calendar, it would take precedence over that. So if you have any questions.
I guess I missed that. What is it about?
Governor Sununu had proposed that schools don't start until after Labor Day.
Okay.
And it's got mixed reactions. Some people think it's a great idea. Some people do not. I think a lot of it was based upon tourism kinds of things that happen around a Labor Day weekend. But that would have an impact on the local communities that have that kind of industry. And the ones that don't would still be able to do whichever they want, which is right now how it is. It's local control. It's the local community votes on the calendar. So it seems like ours lines up with Concord both, academically wise with their schedule. Okay. The third is an overnight field trip. Hills Ridge High School Youth and Government Model Legislature, April 5th and 6th, 2019, in Concord, New Hampshire. That's in your package. Mm-hmm. It's an overnight stay. So.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I have to ask, why is it an overnight stay when you're less than 30 miles away?
Jim, would you like to speak to why is it an overnight when Concord is only a half hour away? Do they do activities in the evening?
They do activities in the evening with the other schools and other kids that go.
But it says the last meeting ends at 8:30, and for 50 years we've had basketball games end at 8:30, 9 o'clock away, and we still come back. And just, if it ends at 8:30, they'd be home, they'd be back at the school by 9.
Yeah, I think, but all the schools that go down and participate, yeah, they stay overnight and they do other things.
After 8:30?
Yeah.
Is it like team building or like bonding?
There's also, I think the next day there's also like a big breakfast for them.
Starts early.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but they don't have to be there till 9.
I mean, breakfast, I think, and things like that start earlier too. I did youth and government when I was younger too, and I know part of it's. Seems like it's close and seems like it might be easier. Like you and I could hop in the car and get back here and get back up the next day. But for students participating in the program, it's also part of the experience.
It's also over the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's Friday into Saturday. Yeah. So, I mean, they're, finishing up. I mean, they're probably,
They're not going to be missing school on the next day.
No, I was thinking of the cost of the hotel and so forth. Or who pays for that anyway? The hotel?
We don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a YMCA, right?
Yeah, I think the people that put it on pay for everything.
Oh, okay. No cost of taxpayers.
We just have it budgeted in our field trip line for the busing to get them down there.
Okay.
Which is less money if they stay.
I was going to say, you save money on busing by not going back Friday night.
Okay.
Okay, and the fourth is a facility use request for waiver. Lions Club, Harlem Superstars Basketball, March 29th, 19th. There's a waiver request for $205. And if you have never seen this, it is something not to be missed. It is an awful lot of fun. We have a teacher that's about 5 feet tall that loves to get out there and try to play against those 7-foot basketball players, and it's an awful lot. Did they have you playing, Jim? With the price of admission. The next thing's on there is Emerald Lake Village District Annual Meeting, April 20th. Waiver request is $330. And the third, the Lions Club Clash of the Concert Bands, May 4th. Waiver request of $620. Okay. Business Administrator's Report.
So I've included the financial statements for February in here, and I have submitted the request for reimbursement for the camera projects and the legal home projects. Another component to that supply line being a little bit over budgeted, over encumbered, is the we have some, I guess, discussion going back and forth right now on the cost of copies. We changed our service provider, our contract provider, because we, there was a lot involved, and it's been an ongoing discussion for, I think, since the first day I started. And so we were able to get out of that contract and go on to somebody else, and there's a pretty big discrepancy between the use of the volume of copies. And so I have been talking with the sales rep, and we're going to talk again tomorrow and schedule a time for him to come out and do some checking. They've assured me that it's actual meter reads that are done, you know, electronically, with the exception of one machine, but it's not adding up. It doesn't make sense. So I've asked them to come out so we can pull history right from the machines, and he can analyze it with me. And we can go from there. And so once that's accomplished and finished, then we'll be making some adjustments and budgeting transfers as we need.
So the new supplier has higher numbers than we've had in
the
past?
They maintain the same pricing, okay. But the volume is just crazy. It's different. So.
Okay.
You know, we looked at a 5-year history, and the volume is just way up.
Okay. Was that kind of across the board, or was there a particular building, or too early?
The Yelp School is, it went from an average of, I think, 30,000 copies a year to 150.
That's not
happening. So there's no way that's accurate. So yeah. We're trying to get to the bottom of it.
Okay.
I had a couple of budget transfers that are under the threshold for requiring authorization, but they're in here for you to see. The MS-22 report of the appropriations actually loaded. That was presented with the packet, so you would have time to review it. We do need to get that signed and submitted by the 1st, and so I wanted to get that taken care of tonight. We have two original copies for your signature, one here for safekeeping, in case.
Okay.
They accept it via scan now, and I don't have to mail it in, but I just would feel more comfortable having a couple.
Yep.
And then the audit, I was the holdup this year, and so, yes, I know. So I've gotten the information to them, and I don't have an estimate yet. It's their busy season, and I'm Saturday working, so that is what they're going to do to get it taken care of. So definitely by the next board meeting, I'll have more information for you.
Okay.
Were there any questions on the MS-22?
I already asked my question.
Okay.
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet. I'm hoping that it's going to be signed tonight so I can get them submitted on time. I mean, if you need to come by the office, that's fine, but we do hope to get all of the board members' signatures on.
Yeah, it didn't look like there was anything that was unexpected as I was looking over it. I don't know, is there,
The only difference between what the budget presentation was, the budget presentation had the CBA and a lump sum.
Yeah.
And in this presentation, it's allocated across the lines. So I went through the roster and figured out what that allocation was, and, you know, between buildings as as well as regular and special ed and the different services.
Thank you.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. We'll look at the minutes from February 18th and March 4th. So why don't we look at February 18th? Anybody wants to look those over? Take a second.
Hmm? Oh, were you looking for a motion there?
No, I just wanted to make sure everybody had a chance to look them over. We haven't gone to the action. So we had two sets of minutes. Just want to double check before we go up in here. Questions or comments on this?
Just a point of, just a clarification actually too. On page, I guess it was page two, number four, right before public comment. When Paul, when you referred to a school board conference, was that something that you were just bringing to our attention? Or did you actually attend it?
I went to it.
Okay.
Okay, it's the one with Commissioner Edelblatt, right, at the School Board Association?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember, though.
Yeah.
It was a while back.
Along that same line, I was going to just add, we talked about the logistics of this program. It's similar to the intern program. Mm-hmm. So that would be a good thing to add to that.
Yeah, if we're going to do that, maybe we can just put a clarification so it's distinct from the other, because we have the School Board Association, which is, that way there's no confusion as far as which conference you attend.
It was at the School Board Association.
It wasn't. There's the delegate assembly, too, so that's what I was saying, distinguishing it from that.
So you want to clarify that statement?
Yes, that's all. Just if you're okay with that, just a friendly amendment.
Yeah, it was New Hampshire School Board Association with the commissioner.
Okay. That works.
Okay. Anything else on that one?
I don't think that Ms. Crawford was present at the meeting on the 5th, March 5th.
You're there in spirit, though, aren't you?
And I'm not sure Patty has a last name.
All right, so we'll remove Jen Crawford from the 5th and add.
Yeah.
All right, any other comments on the minutes? Okay. Let's see, where are we? All right, public comment. Anybody have public comment this time around? Mr.
Segedy. We're going to vote in a minute.
You want to do them now or are you doing them during action? Oh, we can do them now, yeah. You're right, Rich. See? Okay. Hold that thought, John. All right. So let's do the February 18th minutes. So I'm going to make a motion to amend C. 4A to say NHSBA with commissioner conference.
Yeah, I think that's what Paul.
Do we want to do?
Yeah.
The school board conference, New Hampshire School Board Association, and the commissioner.
Okay.
And add the sentence that this logistics of the Learn Anywhere program, which will be challenging, is similar to an intern program.
Are you making that motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Second.
All those.
Aye.
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 Is that
all those in favor? Aye.
Yes.
Any opposed? Any abstained?
Aye.
Okay. So that passes 4-0-1. Is there a motion for the March 5th minutes?
Fourth. Do we still need to make the fact that we vote on the actual minutes of the 18th? Did we just do the?
Oh yeah.
So
make a motion.
I'll put
good Lord, I'll get this.
For you. I'll make a motion to pass the minutes of February 18th as amended.
So moved.
Second. Second?
Second.
Second,
I guess.
Okay, we're getting through it together.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained?
Aye.
Okay. 4-0-1. Now we can go to March. Good.
I love Robert's rules, don't you?
I know. March 5th. So we need a motion to remove Jen Crawford.
I'm sorry, it's March 4th.
Is it March 4th?
It says March 5th.
It is March 5th.
Okay, it says 4th in here, but 5th on there was the 5th.
Sheesh.
Sorry.
It was rescheduled. That's why Jess wasn't here to eat her own cake.
Yeah.
All right, so we need a motion to amend... to remove Jen Crawford and add Patty Parento's last name.
So moved.
Second?
I'll
second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained?
I abstain.
4-0-1. All right. Any other amendments to the minutes for March 5th? All right. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as amended for March 5th?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained?
I abstain.
Okay, 4-0-1 again. All right. Now we can go to public comment. Did you have a comment?
Well, last thing, your instinct is actually right about where the minutes could be voted on.
Yeah.
There have been a number of times where I've had a comment or suggest a change. But because it's before the public comment, so discussing them beforehand makes sense, but the actual voting, and that's done by, I've seen other boards that save it for the action items. So your instinct was right.
Thank you.
However, your instinct right after the public comment, the previous public comment where I wasn't saying anything, your instinct to make a comment about finding another big project to spend our tax dollars on was way off. We don't need to invent a way to spend money, you guys. So damn good at that already. Please don't go looking for that. If we pay it off and taxes can go, you know, for once can go down, and stay down for a while, that's a good thing. You know, there's no immediate need that's been, you know, brought up, so please don't start looking for something. And just to be clear, the facilities project, although you guys have called it a lease, the auditor calls it a bond, because that's what it really is. Need to treat it as such. So we're still paying that off. The problem with that, though, is that we're not getting any money from the state like we are for the middle school. And we'll probably, to go back to your plan to look for another project, we're probably not going to get a payment from the state like we have been either. So, you know, nothing should even be considered until the state starts paying building aid again, and even then, if it's not needed, you know, the state, we don't need to go looking for a way to spend the state's money either, because that's people's. So please, please, please don't do that.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Does the board have a response to any of the public comments?
I was going to say, I don't think any of us intend to necessarily go looking for ways to spend money, but, you know, I certainly think that, you know, if we were to put something on the table, it would be something that we, as a board, agree, or has been brought to us that would be a need, and we would go through that discussion process. So, I mean, certainly I don't think any of us wants to just come up with a project for the sake of coming up with a project, but, you know, it would be something that would be justified and fits in with the strategic plan, the goals, and the vision for the district. And certainly as far as where we vote on the minutes, certainly we could probably take that up in an agenda prep meeting and discuss it and see if there's any changes.
We can just add it as an action item.
We can discuss where we
so I know
best
I'm
feel.
Yeah, we can do that. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, there.
the definition between the lease and the and a bond. I mean, I think from an auditor's perspective, it probably looks more similar than it actually is on paper. It's probably more or less, there's certain advantages to having the lease versus the bond, you know, other than the fact that we don't get, you know.
So I believe that the first year it was classified as a lease, and then they refer back to GASB guidelines, and they're required to refer to it as a bond.
Okay.
Because I did ask about that.
Okay. We're paying that much money, whether whatever you call
right.
it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments? All right, let's go to action items. Is there a motion to accept the appointments, leaves, and resignations for March 18th?
So moved.
Second? I'll second it. All those in favor?
Oh, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained?
Abstain.
I abstain.
Okay. So we got...
Yeah, just for my comment, never met the lady... Resume looks good, but, you know, to get this a day before the school board meeting, in the past we've always seen the finalists, not all 15 applicants, but usually the finalists, three or four, and, you know, not that the resume's got anything wrong with it, but it's nothing, there's nothing to compare it with, it stands alone, and for that reason I'm abstaining, because I'd like to see who applies. Did we get a lot of people with master's degrees or doctorates or whatever, or not? It's a good thing to know for future reference.
I don't know if you have, I mean, I just in response to what you're sharing, I mean, I think I understand your point of view in terms of getting paperwork actually right before a meeting, but we did, I know it was about maybe a month ago, or was it 2 months ago, when we, as a board, that board at the time, charged the superintendent with coming up with a committee, which he formed, to receive the applicants. And so we put that responsibility on him, asked him to do that for us,
like we do every time,
and bring that back to us. So, I mean, I think if we had wanted to get a little bit more involved in that, we should have spoken up prior to. Instead of waiting until an appointment's made after the process has been kind of vetted out. So, I mean, you know, I sort of trust the process of the committee and how it's gone through from the, you know, the superintendent explained how we went from the total applicants and narrowed it down to the four or the five and got the two, and then he made his decision based on that. So I mean, that's where I felt comfortable with making a decision between that and based on the interview we had tonight and the resume.
Okay. Staff calendar for 2019-2020. Make a motion to approve the staff and student calendar.
Did you vote on it?
Yes.
Final three.
302.
It was 2, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, 302.
Paul made his comment after we had the vote.
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome. All right, school calendar. Is there a motion to accept the school calendar for 2019-2020?
So moved.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? 5-0. Overnight field trip for the HDHS Youth and Government Model Legislature for April 5th and 6th. Is there a motion to approve that?
So move.
Paul, is there a second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? 5-0. Facilities use waiver. So first up is the Lions Club for the Harlem Superstars basketball on 329 with a request waiver of 205. Is there a motion for that one?
So move.
Paul, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Herla, Paul and Herla. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? 5-0.
So can we get video of Mr. O'Rourke on the court?
I'll get enough people to play. I won't be stepping on the court.
I want to write that into the motion, though.
I played 4 in a row. I need a break before I break something.
Is there a motion for the Emerald Lake Village District annual meeting for April 20th with a waiver request of $330?
Is this done every year?
Yeah. Well, but yeah, it's I think it's been accepted.
It's a usual event.
Yeah. It's, I'll make the. You know, look, still looking for a motion.
Yes.
I'll make the motion.
So, Chris, is there a second?
A second.
Carla, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? All right, 5-0 for that one. And then the Lions Club Clash of the Concert Bands on May 4th with a waiver of $620. Is there a motion for that one?
So moved.
Paul, is there a second for that one?
Sure. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? All right, that one passes 5-0 as well. And then I think we had a walk-on of selecting a date for the public hearing. April.
Could we do it during the... at the beginning of the school board meeting?
Yeah, we've done that in the past.
Right.
Yeah, the public hearing first.
Mm-hmm. Then the, yeah. First, I think the animals
think I think we've done it right away. Where we start the meeting and then we go to the public hearing.
On the same day as the public hearing. Mm-hmm.
Dismiss the meeting for, public hearing and bring it back.
Does April 15th sound like a decent day or time, date? Is there a motion for that on the table, April 15th, before our regularly scheduled meeting?
I move to have a public hearing starting at 6:15 prior to the regularly scheduled meeting on April 15th.
Okay. Yes, is there a second?
I will second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? All right. 5-0. Yep. Or any other action items that I've missed?
And who gets that to the paper?
Carol. Carol gets that posted. All
right. Do we need a non-public?
Nope.
All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstained? All right. Motion passes 5-0.
Nothing? Okay, we're going to vote on the appointments, leaves, and resignations. I'll accept a motion to approve the appointments, leaves, and resignations as printed.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries 4-0. I will now accept a motion to enter into an agreement. What's the name of the company, the video?
Is it Acron?
Oh, wait, it's probably in the minutes.
Oh,
wait.
It's
probably in the minutes.
It's live stream, isn't it?
Yeah. Live stream?
Town hall.
Live stream, town hall.
Town hall.
Town hall line stream?
Town hall streams.
Town hall streams. I will accept a motion to enter in a one-year agreement with town hall streams for the video recording live streaming of our board meetings